Podcast 115, Thomas Torero, Below the Belt Tales, with a bit of a hoarsey voice. I shall be sipping coffee. I'm in Wales, in the UK. It's a wet, damp Welsh summer. People are in their cagoules, in their anoraks. It's nice to be back. No more of the Asian humidity or the scorching heat of California. This is what I'm used to, shifting skies and drizzle. And I'm home just for a few days, doing some washing, much needed washing, trying to get my mind reset because it feels like mush. I don't know if it's summer or winter, northern hemisphere, southern hemisphere, I'm not sure what the time is. Just spending a few days here. And then my family laugh when I say this, I'm off on holiday. I'm going to the south of France for 4 or 5 days. Just to relax. And you might think, what the fuck? Like, come on, you've just been around the world. But it was mental in many ways, not just the filming and the boot camps and the shift in time zones and all that. But it happened so fast, so many countries, continents, flights and all that stuff that, throws you off balance, and you get back and you're not really sure what's going on. So anyway, that's my real summer holiday coming up. I'll be in the south of France. I've just got, or waiting for me here when I arrived, is a little drone. And now size doesn't matter because it's very powerful. Thank God drones have come down in size, come down in price. And I was waiting a long time to get a drone. Didn't want to just jump on the YouTube bandwagon. But for all the travel I do, all the scenic places I go to, all the cinematic shots I would love, I've got the DJI Spark, which is a little drone. I've got it here. Yesterday, despite the rain, I was practicing in the kitchen, learning how to use a drone, controlling it from my iPhone right now. So I shall test that out in the south of France, and that will become a staple, hopefully, of the videos I shoot around the world. Day gaming with a drone, let us see. I've written down to thank people for following the tour. Thank you if you followed the videos. Thank you if you came on a boot camp. They were sold out across the world. Very humbling. And a big thank you, a main thank you to the guys that volunteered to be in the documentary. They were interviewed, they were filmed in field, they told their story, and that'll be part of this Hustle On documentary coming out late autumn, early winter, which I have to edit, I have to produce, then I'll send it off for a bit of post-production, balance the colour, balance the sound, get some motion graphics on there, and that will be it. The first proper day game documentary. We will talk about that another time. All right, talking today about Below the Belt Tales, and you might have heard me say that phrase before, Below the Belt, because in 2015 I did my world tour where I did lots of talks. It was on that subject, on this belt that I wear for day game, this kind of cowboy Texan belt, and the meaning of Below the Belt, all the filthy, naughty, dirty stuff I've done, all my day game shenanigans. So it's always been a theme, and yes, I'm now, as well as concentrating on the documentary, I'm concentrating on a new book, perhaps my last book of lay reports. Not just lay reports, this will be combined with the Secret Society, some information about the Secret Society, and most importantly, why all this stuff happens, so the biological explanations beneath all of this. See, I told you, using my university education for good, for filth. So that's the new book. And like I did with Cold Calling, it's much easier to structure and scaffold the book if you're disciplined and you do daily writing. And I say, okay, Tom, for all of August, every day in August, I'm going to scaffold out, plan out one of the reports. Most of them are lay reports. There's some fucked up stuff, filthy stuff, funny tales. So that's what I've been doing. And if you go to my website, tomtorero.com, you can see the prologue and you can see part one, which I did yesterday. I'll do part two today. Now, all these stories are going to be a level up from what was in Day Game or Torero Travels or even in Cold Calling, because I held back a little bit when you know that your family reads these books and your friends read these books. And, you know, you're just starting out on social media, putting yourself out there. You're not sure how much to say, how much of the filth to say. But as you go on, you remember that saying, you can't be half a gangster, and you think, fuck it. So these lay reports are the filthiest, are the most squalid, they are the most seedy, they are the most grubby, they are the most grimy, you'd say nasty in the United States. A lot of seediness, things that have happened in my day game journey, a lot of them in the last few years, going from the nice guy to the bad boy. I shall talk about that, explain that in a minute. But yes, following on from the Filth podcast, this will be the theme of the book, and I make no apologies for it. Guys like this stuff. Guys like reading this stuff. I think it's important for nice guys to be shocked when they read this stuff. It's a bit like if you've read the books I've told you to read, Billion Wicked Thoughts by Ogas and Gadam, two guys analysing Google search data from men and women. Very filthy. Or My Secret Garden. I've banged on about that before. What Women Like to Bang by Nancy Friday. Housewives telling you their sexual fantasies. Or perhaps a long time ago, I was talking about the book Girl with a One-Track Mind by the pseudonym of Abby Lee and the sexual exploits of one girl in the anonymous dirty city of London. So yes, this is tapping into this seedy, shabby, grubby, grimy, nasty filth. Perhaps you've heard my podcast on The Secret Society, podcast 52, which is about getting away from vanilla sex, candle sex, boyfriend sex, couple sex, Barry White sex, and tapping into the animalistic, raw, wild, non-monogamous, squirting, bloody, anal, not bloody anal, hopefully two different things, pornographic, BDSM-like sexual world that is out there. That is hidden from view, but it's out there, and I find this fascinating. And I've spent the last 3, 4, 5 years now going from boyfriend day gamer, which is day game 1.0, to kind of semi bad boy, which is day game 2.0, to fully embracing being a dick and not hiding your dick. That's day game 3.0. So from social to sexual day game, and here's the big one, from learning attraction to converting that attraction to arousal. And faster and faster and faster arousal. Okay, so this podcast, to whet your appetite for all things wet, let me take a sip of coffee. I'm going to read the prologue from tomterrera.com and part one. So I won't be announcing these daily posts. You just have to go to the blog every day, tomterrera.com, and through all of August, there will be 30 filthy stories. Let us dive in with the prologue. And the prologue was published on the 1st of August, and I say, tomorrow I'm starting to publish my Dirty 30 series of blog posts with a new lay report, filthy story, each day in August appearing on this website. These stories will be rough drafts of what will go on to become a large section of my new book, Below the Belt, my fourth collection of lay reports, but this time a no-holds-barred account of some of the most filthy, fucked-up adventures that I've experienced in the last few years of pickup. The book's title refers to an old brown leather belt that I've worn continuously in field since getting into day game nearly 9 years ago. My first book, Day Game, there's the plug, describes my journey from chronic nice guy to full-time hustler over the course of the first few years, while the second book, plug, Terrero Travels, tells of my early seduction adventures abroad. Cold Calling, the third book, has lay reports from my travels in the former Soviet Union. Below the Belt will be something far more raw, far more graphic. It will consist of 30 stories that I've not written down up until now because of the amount of debauchery and bodily fluids involved. I'm aware that friends and even family members have read the first three books, and I was always slightly nervous about going into too much detail. But for this new book, I'm embracing the player lifestyle fully, cutting my ties with the nice guy remnants and retelling the stories with all their dirty details. As the saying goes, you can't be half a gangster. The now infamous Terrero belt was obtained from a vintage store on Drury Lane in London at some point in late 2009, early 2010. I'd read about the peacocking needed in nightclub pickups, so I'd gone to the shop to buy a ridiculous blue fluffy jacket, forgetting that day game was very different from club game. After paying for it, putting it on and walking around Covent Garden for half an hour, I realised how stupid I looked. People were pointing and laughing at this guy who looked like a blue chicken. I went straight back to the store and asked for a refund. The lady said I couldn't have one, but that she could swap it for a plainer jacket. And to make up the price difference, she threw in an old cowboy-like leather belt, which she said came from Texas. from that day forward, I kept the belt on whenever I went out in field to do day game, go on a date, or travel around the world teaching it. I'm not a superstitious guy, but the belt has become something of a trademark. Torero means bullfighter in Spanish. In the early days, it was like a superhero belt for me, representing my double life of being a schoolteacher during the day and then a seducer after work. I often felt like the karate kid, putting on the belt as a day game apprentice, ready to learn the art and craft in field. As my previous books document, my journey as a seducer took me from humble, polite, boyfriend-like beginnings to something far more dominant, sexual, and under the radar. The belt has seen it all, as I've gone from nice guy to lover, and it bears the scars, quite literally. Below the belt will contain my stories from inside the secret society, a world of fast, dirty, hidden sex as the lover rather than the provider. It will lift the lid on my non-monogamous encounters all over the world, with girls who have boyfriends, married women, same-day lays, threesomes, anal sex, blood, BDSM, and even a porn film. The completed book will not only contain the 30 debaucherous stories, but it will explain the biological principles underneath them. Why women cheat, why bad boys win, what fantasies girls have, and how you too can enter the secret society to enjoy them. Starting tomorrow, strap yourself in. It's going to be a wild ride. And if you want to know more about the history of that belt, just search for my Below the Belt talk. I think it's a separate iTunes episode, and it's a YouTube video from Los Angeles, California, 2015. I talk about my history of day game. The talk itself is called Below the Belt. Right, moving on to yesterday. Part one of Below the Belt. Remember, these are rough lay reports. They're just skeletons. This is not the finished book. There's no biological explanations. It needs a lot of rewording, rewriting. But these are, as I said, skeletal structures. And yesterday I published a story called Bloody Marvelous. This happened in June 2014 on the Baltic Sea. And you have to go to the post to see the photo, A, of the bloodstained cabin, and a video that I shot in 2014 on that ferry, describing the lay. So go to my blog, tomterrera.com. Okay, here we go. It had been a tough few days of day game hustling on the grand streets of St. Petersburg in Russia. I'd gone there on a reconnaissance trip, taking an overnight ferry from Helsinki and making use of the visa-free three-day window allowed. The girls had, as predicted, been stunning, but the blowouts, flakes, and two near misses had reminded me about Russian iciness. I boarded the ferry from the docks in St. Petersburg, ready for my overnight trip back to Finland. It was midsummer and the infamous white nights were in full effect, bathing everything in a solstice glow. After dropping my bag off in my one-person cabin below deck, I went up to watch the ferry depart and breathe in some Baltic air, resisting the urge just to sleep after a few hectic days. I need more coffee, wait. This is what touring does to you. It was now around 7 p.m. and I was strolling around on the top deck, watching Russia fade from view as we got out onto the Baltic Sea. Tourists mingled around at the outdoor bar or lounging on deck chairs, soaking in the last warm rays. On one of the chairs, I saw a girl in her early 20s, blonde hair, sunglasses on, with a red and white striped dress. Her high cheekbones and hot features told me she was Russian. I couldn't be sure if she was alone or with her friends, family, or other half, if they were somewhere around snapping pictures, so I walked on by and went back down to my cabin. Lying on my narrow bed, I closed my eyes and was tempted to just crash out, but part of me felt guilty for not being on deck and filming the Nordic midnight sun panoramas. Around 8 p.m, I was back on the deck for my last evening stroll. Suddenly, the girl in the striped dress walked past me, still with sunglasses on, carrying a camera. All the day game I'd done in St. Petersburg made the approach and the opener instinctive and polished. I told her she looked beautiful and that her dress made her look like a sailor. She accepted the compliment, but in true Russian style was frosty in the interaction, not obviously hooking and just letting me do the work. I found out some basic facts, that she was indeed Russian, alone, and heading to Helsinki for a short city break with a tour group she was joining there. The wind was whipping up and the temperature dropping, so the bounce inside to the bar stroke cafe was easy. The instant date itself was not. She insisted sitting opposite me and drinking tea after I'd ordered myself a beer. She was a classic princess girl, an only child, spoilt, a big fan of Disney movies about maidens and princes, and a seeker of luxury. Typical hot Russian girl stuff. Her boyfriend of 3 years was back in her Russian city, but she was frustrated with him as he kept proposing and she felt she was too young to get married. The conversation was hard work, and we were slipping into too much rapport, so I had to change things up a gear. As is normal with former Soviet Union girls, challenging works better than teasing. I disagreed with her about lavish shows of wealth, which I called vulgar, and I said I didn't like Dubai, which she said was her favourite place. To spike things up, I started the usual verbal escalation gambits. I said she had a sexy but dangerous accent. We talked about plastic surgery of Russian girls in Miami. I asked her what kind of guys she found attractive. Rough men, she said, and we joked about Kate Middleton's sister Pippa having a great arse. Despite the spikes, she was hard to read. A weak maybe girl, but certainly no green lights flashing. I told her about the tacky variety show taking place in the ferry bar later in the evening, and that we should meet later to have a drink and watch it. She agreed, saying she needed a shower and would meet me there. One more coffee, wait. Back in my cabin, I had a shower too. Put on my clothes, which hadn't been washed since I'd arrived in Russia, and put a condom in my pocket. In the bathroom mirror, I gave myself a pep talk. Run the train, Tom. You've only got one night. Assume attraction. Don't fall into rapport. Escalate towards seduction as the bad boy. Get her to the cabin. Pull the trigger. I arrived in the bar as the show was starting. Found two seats close to each other, ordered a beer, and leant back, waiting for her. The free show was like something from a Soviet time machine. Eurovision meets the Russian state circus. Every cliché was peddled out. Cossack dancing to techno Russian pop. Ballroom dancing combined with a dog jumping through a hoop. It was a car crash of entertainment, but weirdly engrossing. Sailor Girl arrived 20 minutes late, normal in Russia, wearing a little black dress, heels and makeup, taking her from a high 7 to a high 8. She squeezed in next to me and ordered a whiskey coke. This was getting better. The show was so loud that there was nothing else to do except lean into each other's ear to say something or just be physical in the dark bar. I started the usual escalation ladder. Incidental touching to point things out, comparing suntans, pulling her in to say something, briefly holding her hand, and brushing her hair from her face. The first big green light was that she was floppy when I'd pull her in, leaning on me for a few seconds as we were watching the show. As the room got darker for the show's finale, a cringing version of Swan Lake with what looked like a stripper twirling feathers and a half-broken smoke machine, I pulled her in closer and kissed her. She jumped me. Game over, I thought. Let's get out of here, I said in her ear. She replied that she wanted to stay and watch the end of the show. Lose the battle to win the war. I rolled off and enjoyed another 20 minutes of Swan Lake gone wrong. Luckily, that was the final act and the show ended as quickly as it had begun. The harsh room lights turned on and the audience sent scurrying as it was past midnight and the bar had closed. I stood up and led hard. Let's go for a walk, but first I need to get my jacket from the cabin. She was slightly hesitant, but followed my lead, coming into my cabin, which was only 5 minutes away. Awkwardly, we sat on the narrow bed and switched on the ferry radio that was built into the wall. I remember Phil Collins blasting out of the speakers. I kissed her once more, but she wasn't as floppy anymore. She said it was fast and that she hadn't done this before. After a bit more kissing, I realised her nervousness was largely to do with the fact that she still had her heels on. A Russian norm is to remove shoes inside a house. She kicked them off and we lay down on the bed. I have a boyfriend, she reminded me. Let's just hug. It's okay, I said as I pulled her in and she moaned. More kissing, neck biting, more sighing. It was time for the classic Torero move, get your dick out, G-Y-D-O. I unzipped my jeans and got it out, putting her hand on it. The kissing intensified, but when I went to put my hand up her dress, she stopped me.
It is my woman's day, she said.
Still both of us fully clothed, I opened her legs, slid off her panties and began fingering her on the outside of her pussy. then pulling the dangling cord of the tampon she had inside. It sounds gross as I write this, but in that moment of intense passion, we were like wild animals, and it was totally fine. She finished pulling the tampon out and dropped it on the floor as I lifted up her dress and went inside her. Fucking with clothes on often makes the experience even more intense, as it's so spontaneous and furious. The sex was raw and primal, lots of biting, scratching, hair pulling and blood everywhere. On the sheets, on the pillows, on the sink after she'd gone to clean up.
With you very wild, you like an animal, she smiled as we hugged after sex on the bed.
I hope you're appreciating my exquisite Russian impression.
With you very wild, you like an animal, she smiled as we hugged after sex on the bed.
I lay there glowing with pride at what I'd just managed to do. A fast same-day lay with a young hot Russian girl on a boat in the middle of the Baltic Sea. It was a key moment in my journey from the nice, sweet, boyfriend-like daygamer to the adventurous, naughty, lover-mode daygamer, which I'll never forget. On my leather belt that I mentioned in the prologue, there's still faint, dry blood marks near the buckle from that night in the cabin. The notch was one which changed my game and sealed my fate as a wandering cad. There you go. And as I said, on that blog post at the bottom, at the top there's a photo of the cabin, and at the bottom there is a video which I shot on deck around 1 a.m. under the midnight sun on the Baltic Sea, glowing and retelling that story. There you go, just a taste of what's to come. Not too bad, was it? I had to whisper a little bit because there's family members down below, so you never really lose that slight shame in being a sexual being, in being a man, in not hiding your dick. But people secretly love this stuff. Obviously, people watch porn, people read about this stuff, people fantasize about this stuff. Married men have written to me, monogamous married men have written to me and said, I love what you're doing, Tom. I've got your books and I live vicariously through you. So that's a bit weird to think of. But hey, perhaps you're a day gamer and you're in the nice guy mode. And you need these kind of glimpses into secret society stuff to encourage you to do faster pulls, to encourage you not to be the provider or the lovey-dovey boyfriend. Perhaps you get inspiration about leading and escalating, or even simple things like having sex with a girl who's on her period. A lot of guys, for moral reasons or religious reasons, or just for hygiene, they think, oh my God, that's disgusting. A girl would never do that. This is wrong. But as we talk about with Craig in that filth podcast, it happens all the time. Girls love it. There's a girl I currently see in Middle Europe, and she's at her most horny when she's on her period. So she comes around specifically to have sex with me. You just put a towel down, you put the lights down, you can tell her to have a shower. And she's got a stable boyfriend, bless her, but I guess he doesn't do that kind of stuff. So that will be the theme of August. Go to my website every day for these below the belt snippets, as I said. Not polished, but we shall get there by the end of the year. There will be stories about BDSM, so using the belt quite literally. Threesomes, using the belt. The seediness of when I used to live in a mice-infested house in the middle of Soho in London. And all the filthiness and the lays and taking of virgin's virginity in that very house in Soho. I'll talk about that. Tales from the filthy day game house in Marble Arch. You might remember I used to live in a house full of day gamers and all sorts of characters right in the middle of Marble Arch, or in London, in Marble Arch at the top end of Oxford Street. That was a filthy house. Again, lots of mice, girls being fucked in every room, students sleeping on mattresses. They were a nutty few years, so I'll talk about that. I shall talk about sex in a car, sex in a field of sunflowers, sex in a bar, literally in a bar with people walking around, not knowing. That's how secret the secret society is. Obviously, sex in toilets, sex in a park, sex on a roof, making a porn film in Essex. That was pretty grotty. A date with a girl who pulled a knife on me. In South America, going on an eye date with a girl who turned out to be a boy, a tranny eye date. No, I didn't fuck her. No, I didn't escalate. Yes, I was suspicious, but that needs to be told. So all sorts of things. If you can't wait until even the end of August or for the full book at the end of the year, here's the plug. Go to Stealth Seduction, and that's my infield product. So you can see me, you can hear me doing a lot of these filthy things. Sex with girls who have boyfriends, sex with married women, lays in parks, lays in a car park, same day lays, a lay with a virgin, booty calls. They're all there, including the text messages, all around the world. So stealth seduction, that's my, that's, you could say, my life's work, my life in games work. Street Hustle is the textbook. Stealth Seduction is the video product that accompanies that. But there you go. We shall finish it there before my voice gives out completely. You might be wondering where I'm going to be, what I'm going to be doing for the rest of the year. Well, writing that book, editing the documentary, that will take a lot of my time. I will continue to do the weekly podcasts, I promise. There will be weekly videos, I promise, on my YouTube channel. And I will be traveling once again. I'll be back in Middle Europe. I'll be going down to see more of the Balkans as it gets a bit cooler, as the university term times commence once again and the girls return from the coast. I shall be back in Ukraine for a little bit to try and close some loops there. To Russia, I've got a project in Russia. Always go to Russia, the pinnacle of day game. Japan. It's like a tradition now. In November, I'll be back in Japan. I love it. I've been twice, 2 years in a row. This will be the third year. I don't think Timothy, Professor Tim, can come this year because he's probably going to be in China. But I might be going over there either alone. I don't mind solo missions, especially not to Japan, or with Ian. But that's to be confirmed. And then winter, a bit of snowy stuff, and then South America for a bit of the winter. And that's a good message that you should day game all nationalities, all types of girls, from secretaries and doctors and the quote-unquote good girls and girls with PhDs and library girls to nutty, fast, same-night lays with club girls, Barbie girls, airheads, blondes, hairdressers, etc. And you shouldn't just game in Asia, certainly not in Asia, that would encourage bad habits. You shouldn't just game in Eastern Europe. You shouldn't just game in Middle Europe. You should test your mettle, is that the phrase, on all types of girls, specifically as well girls from your own country. The first lay I had on the world tour was with an English girl, and I'm seeing her on Friday, tomorrow. The other notches on the tour, the second one was American, the third one was American, the fourth one was Canadian, the fifth one was Chinese, and then the last one was German. So, yes, getting laid abroad, obviously those notches in 1 month, that shows you that that's easier than getting laid in Eastern Europe. Guys always say, you go to Eastern Europe because it's easy. No, we go there for the hotness. And if you've got a certain preference that you like Swedish girls, okay, go for it. But also try to game Canadians, Australians, British girls, French girls, whatever. Have your fill. This is the point of below the belt as well, that when you're on your deathbed, you have a smile on your face that you tried everything. Or if you do give up being a player, shock horror, and you settle down, however terrible that phrase sounds, at least you can say, yeah, okay, well, I had that story. I had that girl. I had that nationality. I tried this. I fulfilled that fantasy. So you're not left longing. You know what it's like. All right, but there we go. I shall finish it there. On y va. Au revoir, we say, à bientôt. I will see you soon from the south of France. The next podcast, because of all these questions I'm getting right now on this one particular topic, will be on minimalism. Because a lot of people watch my videos for the game stuff, not the gay stuff, but a lot of people watch my videos for the kind of minimalistic themes I've had going since 2012, 13, when I quit my job, sold everything, got that bag, traveled around the world multiple times, wearing the same clothes in every video. Guys are fascinated by the bag, by the kit, by the underlying philosophy behind it and what that does to your mindset. That will be the podcast next week. Until then, ta-da.